is all about the revelation of Jesus, of who Jesus is. So it begins with the visit of the Magi, and then Simeon and Anna, and then the disciples, and then John the Baptist, and all of it reveals who Jesus is. Every one of those revelations is a piece. It's a part of who Jesus is. It isn't the be-all, end-all. It isn't Jesus in his totality, but it's a facet. It's a piece of who Jesus is. And so the question that I want you to consider today is, who is Jesus? And I know this is going to sound not Lutheran, but who is Jesus for you? I know a lot of times in our theology, we push back against sort of the personal idea of Jesus or the personal relationship with God and how that works. We tend to be a little more academic about that pursuit, and that's okay, and that's great. But at some point, we all have to come to this decision, this not decision about believing in Jesus, but the decision about who Jesus is for us. And it may change over time, as it will. And, you know, for Mary and Joseph, Jesus started as their infant, their baby, and then gradually he grew and changed for them, always being their son, of course. But who is Jesus for you? God bless you. Who is Jesus for you? For the Magi who came from the east, who followed the star, who originally went to Jerusalem and encountered Herod, Jesus for them was the new king of the Jews. From their perspective, as Easterners, because that's where they came from the east, they came to encounter Jesus, and they did so in a worshipful fashion. Not that they necessarily pledged their worship to him, but they encountered him as the new king of the Jews. They had no idea about his long-range plan or what he was there to be for all of humanity. They saw him as the king of the Jews. So at some point in their mind, Jesus was for them the one who would reign and rule on the throne of Israel. That's why they brought him gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were gifts of royalty. And that's what the star told them, that in all of their astrological charts, the star appeared signaling that this new king was to be born. So they go to Herod and they say, "We're looking for the new king." And Herod, being the old king, said, "Whoa, wait, I'm not done yet. Let's wait for, you know, a while." And we know how that encounter ended. But it was the Magi who first approached Jesus, besides the shepherds who on that Christmas evening in Luke chapter 2 encountered Jesus as the one who was born to all great glory, honor, and praise. But for the Magi, Jesus was the new king of the Jews. Later, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be had sacrifices made for him being born, two turtle doves, as the righteousness goes. And they encountered Simeon, who is an old man who had thought that, or who had been told by God that he would see the salvation of Israel before he died. And so here comes Jesus. So for Simeon, Jesus was the salvation of Israel. He was the one who was the glory of Israel. He was the promised salvation. Simeon doesn't use Messiah in those terms. He says, "The salvation. I have seen your salvation," he says. So for Simeon, Jesus was the salvation of Israel. He was the glory of Israel. And not only that, according to our prophet today, he was the light to the Gentiles. He was the one who was going to bring the light of God to all of the dark places. And so Simeon's encounter with him in this Epiphany season, he wasn't the king of the Jews. That was for the Magi. He was the salvation of Israel. John, encounters him later in life after he is all grown, and he sees him coming towards him, and what does John proclaim? But that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not he's the King of the Jews, not he's the salvation of Israel, not that he's a light to the nations, but that he is the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. So for John, the baptizer, there in the river, Jesus was that sacrificial lamb. He was the completion of the temple sacrifices. He was the last, the perfect, the spotless Lamb of God, as promised, that would take away the sin of the world. John didn't see him sitting on the throne in Israel. He didn't see him as sort of that idea of salvation that Simeon had. He was the Lamb of God. He was the final sacrifice. Who is Jesus for you? King of the Jews? Lamb of God? Salvation of Israel? Light to the Gentiles? Who is Jesus for you? It's not entirely an un-Lutheran question, by the way. Because when Luther is talking about the sacrament, when he's talking about the sacrament of the altar, he says the one who is worthy to receive the sacrament is the one who believes the words that Jesus did this, that his body was given, his blood was shed for you. For you. Not necessarily in terms of for all the world, but for you. Who is Jesus for you? In our gospel reading today, John proclaims him the Lamb of God. His disciples, Andrew and then Peter, go to find Jesus, and what do they call him? Rabbi. Teacher. At that point, in that encounter, for those disciples, Jesus is rabbi. He is a rabbi. He is the rabbi. The teacher for them. They had been under Rabbi John. They had been his disciples. Now, as John points them to Jesus, which is his job, right? He's the one to witness to point people to Jesus. So John does that, and now his disciples become Jesus' disciples. Rabbi, where are you staying? We want to have this conversation. We want to learn from you. Then, as that conversation goes, Andrew goes to find his brother Peter, Simon Peter. And what does he say? We have found the Messiah. The Messiah. The one who would rescue the people, who would establish. So for those disciples, Messiah means a whole lot of things. Messiah means King of the Jews. Messiah means Lamb of God. Messiah means salvation for Israel. Messiah means all sorts of stuff. Mainly, it means that Israel would be established as the light to the world, the city on the hill, the nation of God's chosen, which we know that later on, Jesus doesn't do politically speaking, militarily speaking. He does it in a different way. So for the disciples, as they come to know him, as they first encounter him even, he's the Messiah. Later, Peter would proclaim him to be the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one, the Son of God, the very Son of God. He would proclaim him to be that. Mary and Martha, when Lazarus dies, would both proclaim him to be the resurrection and the life, the one who would raise us from the dead. We talked about that last week in our baptisms with the reading from Romans, that in our baptisms we are connected with Christ in his death and resurrection. He is the resurrection. Who is Jesus for you? And I know at various times and various places and various contexts, Jesus for us can be different. And I don't mean that in a pluralistic way, that there are multiple Jesuses, right? There's not a section in the store where you can pick and choose which Jesus you want. It's not that way. Because Jesus is all of those things. He's not just one in the sense of being king of the Jews, salvation of Israel, the rabbi, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, all of those things. Jesus is, yes, all of those things. But each of the encounters with Jesus throughout the scriptures, the people encounter him as somebody that they connect with, in a way that they connect with him. So who is Jesus for you? I don't want you to shout out answers or anything unless you're so moved to do so, but that's not the point. The point is Jesus is for you. He is King of the Jews for you, as the ruler of the nation of Israel, as the ruler of all of God's people, of the ruler of his own kingdom, the kingdom of God in which we are part of, Let's get the grammar right. Jesus is that. He is that for us. Whether or not that's how we see him in different times, in different places, that's not the point. The point is that's who he is. He is the ruler, the reign of God in his kingdom. That's who Jesus is. And he is that for you. He is the rabbi. You read the Gospels and it's full of the teachings of Jesus. It's part of the whole reason that they were written. He's not only a teacher, but he is the teacher. He is the rabbi, but not only the rabbi. He is the Lamb of God who is the sacrifice for all sins of all people, of all time, in all of history. He was the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was that for you. But he was all of that and more. Who is Jesus for you? So we come to the table today. Who is Jesus for you? He is the body and blood given and shed for our forgiveness, for our salvation, for our rescue, for our strengthening. That's who Jesus is for us. He's the one who died on the cross for our sins. That's who Jesus is for us. But I want you to think about that. Pray about who is Jesus for you. And again, that may change. Different times, different contexts, different struggles that we go on. Sometimes Jesus is the comforter. We know the Holy Spirit is the comforter that was sent, but Jesus himself as our friend is our comforter. When things are difficult, challenging, struggle, Jesus is the one who walks with us. I don't like the poem of the footprints in the sand. I know it's nice for some, but my poem would look a little different. There would never be two sets of footprints. It would only be one, and those are Jesus' footprints, and he would be the one carrying me all the time, because I could never get anywhere on my own. So for Jesus as comforter, for Jesus as friend, for Jesus as brother, for Jesus as one who knows the pain and struggle we go through, for Jesus who can identify with everything that we've been through and go through, Jesus, the salvation of ourselves, the one who says, I am going to prepare a place for you and I will come and take you to be with me so that where I am, there you may be also. I am going to do that, and Jesus promises that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We could do this all day. Who is Jesus for you? Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard and keep our hearts always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.